Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome into our studios here in beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, some experts in the field of jazz. And we're going to find out why they're here. A little bit different music than we normally hear on the classical station. But tonight, Mike Savard is here, good friend. Mike, welcome to the program.
Nice to be back.
Nice to have you with us. And Mike has been on the air with us before, but on American Acapella.
True. My first time on Conducting Conversations.
So this is your virgin appearance.
A whole new audience.
Oh, there you go. All right. And we're going to be talking about Mike's uncle, who is a jazz great, named Dave McKenna, and we'll find out a little bit more about that and why we're doing the program. And Mike, you brought a guest along with you. Greg Malachi is here. Welcome, Greg.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you with us, and we're going to find out why you're here, actually. And the reason is you're involved with a documentary, correct?
That is correct.
About the life of Dave McKenna. So we want to find out about that, but let's go back to Mike and say, your uncle. So you grew up with, I'm sure a lot of people recognize the name, Dave McKenna, jazz pianist, right?
Yep. Member of the Rhode Island Music Hall of Fame. He's really, really famous in this kind of small group of kind of, you know, old school jazz fans, and but had a kind of complicated relationship with the recording industry and you know, probably didn't get the recognition that he deserved. And where it's part of the reason the family's pretty excited to have Greg doing this project and get a little more exposure to my uncle and the phenomenal musician that he was. And glad I'm part of that same tree, but I kind of, this apple rolled down the hill a little farther than I would have liked.
Well, so you're a great singer instead of a jazz pianist, right?
Yeah. I'm a pretty good singer, but yeah, my uncle was really a phenomenal talent. And
What time period are we talking about? When did he live?
Dave was born in 1930 and passed away in 2008.
So relatively recently as far as musicians go.
Yeah, and he was still working right up till about 2006. Had to stop playing because of diabetic neuropathy. The jazz world's not really kind to diabetics, you know.
A lot of
alcohol and cigarettes, which kind of would ended up kind of doing him in, but he played for a long, long time and recorded from the 1950s to, you know, into the 2000s, something like 60 albums plus in his discography, a lot of them solo piano, which is what he really, really loved doing.
All right, we'll get into a little bit more about that. Greg, let's talk about you for a moment. Are you a Rhode Island guy?
I am, yeah. Born and raised.
Born and raised. You're okay. Mike's not so good, but because he left for a little while. But you're born and raised. What section? What town?
Providence.
Right in Providence?
Yeah, right over near our LaSalle Academy.
Okay. Yeah. Over relatively near Rhode Island College, if people don't know where LaSalle is. Not that far from the state capitol building, in the shadow of it almost. Yeah. And what led you into the film industry?
I'd always been interested in it since I was a little kid. I kind of was one of these guys that made a lot of movies with my friends when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, and just kind of stuck with it and went off to college to study film and got lucky in New York, went to college there and got some good jobs when I was done with school and just got really sucked into the whole world of filmmaking, documentary making, all that kind of stuff.
And you came back, and does this project kind of fall in your lap, or is this something you knew about and you always wanted to do?
I'd say a bit of both, actually. I'd known about Dave McKenna for a long time. I'm a bit younger, but I was always a big jazz fan, and I kind of connected the dots that Dave was from Rhode Island, and I was from Rhode Island, and I thought that was really neat. I became really interested in him as a person, and of course interested in his music. So I'd always wanted to do a film on him. I never thought it would happen or that I could make it happen, but a couple of years ago, to make a long story short, I started chatting with Steve McKenna, who's one of Dave's sons, and I kind of mentioned to him what I wanted to do, and he was really intrigued and interested, and that kind of started this whole ball rolling of trying to make this happen as a reality. And that was about 2 years ago, and now it looks like we're hopefully on our way to making this thing.
Excellent. All right, let's get people in the mood a little bit. We have some of Dave's recordings of Dave. And Mike, this first one is My Honey's Loving Arms. Is anything you want to say particularly about that?
Listen a lot for the left hand. This is kind of Dave's signature, these really strong walking bass lines. And it'll sound like there's at least two people playing a piano in most everything that Dave plays. And still amazes me.
Let's give it a listen. Well, now we're in the mood. We got I'm bouncing in my seat.
Cool.
So
cool.
Yeah, that's great. Mike, how does somebody like Dave, who in 1930 you said he was born, I believe, mm-hmm. You know, back in that era, get involved and get successful without being in New York City or being in, you know, in the thick of it?
He definitely didn't end up in New York City after a while. He started as a teenager. I mean, he was going up to Boston playing gigs with the Boots Macilli band when he was 15, 16 years old and got noticed. And Dave's always been...
So that would have put him in during the war, actually.
He had to take a couple of years off. So after Boston, he ended up out with the Charlie Ventura band, played with them for about a year. Then he went on to the Woody Herman Orchestra. Mm-hmm. Then he got drafted for Korea. He went 2 years in the Army and in Korea. Luckily for him, he said that the Army couldn't make anything out of him but a cook. He was a little too laid back to be...
Well, it should have made him a pianist, is what they said.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't have a lot of need for that in Korea. So he was in Korea for a couple of years, never too close to the action other than with the potato peeler. Mm-hmm. But came back, went back to Charlie, and then ended up moving to New York City. And he did a lot of work with ensembles there, mm-hmm. Notably with Stan Getz. Did a lot of work with Stan Getz.
Some big names, Woody Herman, Stan Getz, you know.
Yeah, it just amazes me that, you know, 19 years old, 20 years old playing with, you know, Woody Herman's orchestra. Like, just mind-blowing.
That is pretty cool.
And, you know, it's a musical family. My grandparents, his parents met on Block Island playing in a band in the summertime. And my grandmother played piano and violin. My grandfather was a drummer. And my aunt is still a working musician in her 80s. She's a jazz singer. So there's a lot of other people in the family as well, but Dave certainly the pinnacle. Yeah. You know, lived in New York City from 54 to 66, working with a lot of these groups. Wanted to get back to New England. He loved Cape Cod, so he moved to Cape Cod in 66. And at that point, kind of really when he focused on being a solo piano player and did a lot of gigs on the Cape, and he was the house pianist in Boston at the Copley from 80 to 89 in the Copley Plaza Bar. Mm-hmm. But always touring and recording as well.
That's amazing. You mentioned that. Copley Plaza Bar in 1889. I probably heard him and didn't know it.
There you go.
Greg, as far as the movie is concerned, is this something that takes his whole life into account? Or how does the movie... can you give us any secrets about when does it start, when does it end?
Yeah, I think it'll definitely cover his whole life.
Okay.
I'm definitely interested in, you know, both his earlier career and his later career. So it'll definitely cover his whole career.
And this is a documentary format versus a, you know, fictitious thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be interviewing, you know, a lot of people who knew Dave and who played with him. We've got some pretty interesting people already who want to speak about Dave, particularly Dick Hyman, a piano player who's done a lot of Woody Allen movie soundtracks over the years. He was a big fan of Dave. And like Mike said, there's a lot of people out there who just really, really love Dave, some big names, and, you know, we're hoping to get them involved in the project. A few people have already shown a lot of interest, so it's very exciting.
Excellent. All right, let's get another piece of music in before we get too much further along. Easy Street, right, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, in addition to having that really driving left hand, Dave could really treat a melody just super delicately. And just the opening few notes of this track of Easy Street just are kind of epitomize that for me.
Excellent. All right, we're going to listen to Easy Street, then we'll take a short break and be back with more. Thank you. Dave McKenna is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversation show. I'm Mike Mano, and very pleased to be sitting with Mike Savard and Greg. And Greg, you're involved with the production of this documentary, and I think you told me there's a possible working title of mm-hmm. Gentle Giant, right? Is that we get a scoop there, a news scoop that hasn't actually been officially released yet?
Yeah, that's the title we're going with for all now, right. And it might stick, but I like it. I think it kind of represents who Dave was.
Yeah, and you're kind of the important guy because you're the main guy here, right? So if we please you, then, you know, then you're all set. Yeah. Now, this is a work in progress, and it takes a lot of money to put something like this together. And can people help out to make sure if they're jazz enthusiasts or Dave McKenna fans, how do they go about helping out?
Yes, we have a crowdfunding page going, which is a GoFundMe page, and essentially people can log on to a website, take out any sort of card they want and type it in and submit, and they'll make a donation. So it's a GoFundMe, and the address is GoFundMe.com/Dave McKenna Film.
So Dave McKenna Film, F-I-L-M, okay.
Correct. And you just go to the site. There's already been a lot of very, you know, great people donating and helping, and it would certainly be wonderful if people wanted to help us along the way. We're still trying to raise money to make this thing happen, and yeah, that would be great. GoFundMe.com/Dave McKenna Film.
Okay. Now, you're being from Rhode Island, and I'm from Rhode Island, you should know by now, you got to know a guy, you know?
Yeah, of course.
You got to know a guy. Yeah. I know a guy.
Yeah, well, send him our GoFundMe.
All right. Well, maybe we can hook you up with, you know, we have people from the Rhode Island International Film Festival that are involved with documentaries. George Marshall's a good friend of the program on frequently.
Yeah.
So is Steven Feinberg, director of Rhode Island Television and Film. So I'll hook you up, you know what I mean?
That'd be great. We have a lot of interest. I just think we haven't made a big push yet to really get it out there. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, soon we'd like to do something like that and get some local people interested in it. Okay. I think it has a lot of potential to be a pretty big film.
Well, interesting life, interesting musician, and great music. And Mike, you know, you lived this, right? You went through the whole thing from, although you weren't around in 1930, but
no.
You were growing up while he was in his heyday, more or less.
Yeah, and sadly, pretty unaware of just how big of a figure he was for a large part of that, right? Kind of a clueless teenager.
Just Uncle Dave to you, right?
Yeah, you know, mostly Dave and I talked about the Red Sox. I mean, he loved the Red Sox. That was his number one thing, for sure. And, but I was, you know, later on, I found out more of the scope of, you know, like my senior year in high school, I think he was playing in a jazz festival in Europe with Rosemary Clooney. And, you know, like, and I think back on it, I'm like, what was I thinking? I should have been hanging out with Dave every summer. Not that he would have wanted a teenager hanging out with him, but, you know, the experiences I could have had would have been phenomenal.
Absolutely. I mean, I hear those stories from, I had Buddy Hackett's son on the program one night, and he was talking about how he never realized, you know, he'd pick up the phone and say, oh, yeah, hold on, Uncle Joey, you know, Joey Bishop, and or hold on, Uncle Frank, and it was Frank Sinatra, and it never, you know, didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing.
My cousin had a lot of those experiences, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great star is just being like Rosemary Clooney, for example. Okay, let's get along with another piece of music and tell us about this one. This is going to be an unusual title. I don't know that I know 127th.
Yeah, it's not a tune a lot of people know. Don't forget 127th Street, but it's a cool little uptown. It's another real good example of Dave and that walking bass line. And you'll hear a lot of these. Dave likes to kind of move between techniques during a song, and he'll start off maybe, you know, kind of a light treatment of the melody, and then he'll get into that really solid bass line, and maybe sort of almost like a stride kind of approach where you get like a bass note and a chord, a bass note and a chord. Mm-hmm. And he kind of weaves all those things in, and you can hear a lot of that in this song. Thank you.
Greg, one of the interesting things in a project like this, I'm sure, is you get to work with lots of people and some that you haven't met before and some that are pretty close to you. Has that been true so far in your experience?
It has. I've been working particularly with a guy named Court Swearingen. That's how you pronounce mm-hmm. this. Yeah, he's a really great guy. He lives in Florida, and he's been running the Dave McKenna website for a long time, and I think he's collected more, you know, Dave McKenna recordings than anyone else, I would imagine.
Wow.
And he runs the site, so him and I have been talking for a few years at this point, and he has been a big help for this project.
So there's a Dave McKenna website.
There is. I think if you were to just search his name, Google it's probably the first thing that comes up. It has a lot of his recordings, and so Court runs that page, and yeah, he's been a big help for the film so far. He's really helping us get in touch with people and doing some more of the producer type stuff on the film, and so yeah, he's a wonderful guy.
Excellent. All right, Mike, what do we want to get to next?
Well, you know, Dave was really a musician's musician, and from the very beginning of his career, when he was touring with Charlie Ventura, they were on tour one time, and Art Tatum was on the tour. And the story is that Art would be in his dressing room all the time if he wasn't on stage, unless my uncle was playing. I like the way that kid plays, and he would come out of the dressing room and listen to Dave.
Yeah.
Supposedly, I've never actually heard this recorded or anything, but both George Shearing and Oscar Peterson would say that Dave was the best piano player that they'd ever heard.
Oscar Peterson said that. Wow.
Yeah. So
some
within
pretty high credentials.
Yeah. There. I mean, it's really amazing, and it's a shame that more people don't know about it, but the people that were in the business and that got to hear Dave and heard him throughout his career had that kind of respect for him.
Well, I'm sure this movie will help a lot, so we'll look forward to that. So, Mike, what's going to be next?
So next we're going to do Too Marvelous for Words, which is kind of a real jazz standard that you'll hear a lot of different musicians play, but a lot of these kind of people would love to hear my uncle's version of it.
All right. Well, listen, Too Marvelous for Words, take a short break, and be back with more of the Dave McKenna music.
Thank you.
The Music of Dave McKenna is the subject of tonight's program, and a documentary that's going to be produced called The Gentle Giant. That's a working title in progress. And Greg and Micah here telling us about the project. And, you know, Greg, one of the things that people are going to be curious as to how you're going, how it's proceeding. And there's a Facebook page people can follow to get information.
Correct. Along with the GoFundMe page, which once again is GoFundMe.com/Dave McKenna Film. There's also a Facebook page. It's called the Dave McKenna Appreciation Society. And if you just search that on Facebook, it'll come up. And it's very active. A lot of jazz fans, a lot of piano fans in there who appreciate Dave's music. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of updates on that Facebook page about
updates the progress.
Updates as to how the
film is going and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Now, I have a technical question for you, because sure. I can tell you're a smart guy, and my role here, as I mentioned before we started recording, is to play dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, here's my question. Is this a movie or a film? There's a long pause there.
I'd call it a film.
Okay.
A film, yeah. I guess, you know, you could differentiate, of course, from some sort of narrative film.
Okay.
A narrative movie, rather, you know, where there'd be an actor playing Dave, which would be cool to do at some point.
But that's not what this is.
Yeah, this is, you know, a kind of a very straightforward documentary incorporating a lot of old footage, a lot of photos, a lot of interviews with people who knew Dave, who played with Dave, that kind of thing.
All right. I just want to make sure I'm using the right verbiage. So it's a cartoon. No.
That would also be really cool.
All right, Mike, let's get back to the music world part of it.
So Dave had an encyclopedic memory of songs, and I never went to one of his shows where somebody asked him to sing a song, to play a song that he didn't know just immediately. I just launched into it. It's phenomenal.
Without the music.
No, yeah. In fact, he was playing professionally for years before he ever learned how to read music. He just listened to the radio and started imitating it, and that's how he kind of became a piano player. And
my kind of guy.
Yeah, just you know, he was definitely a genius. But so he could play anything that anybody asked him to play, and it was, you go to a show, and his signature when you see him live was, you know, somebody would ask him to play something, or he'd start playing something. So say maybe somebody asked him to play Basin Street Blues. So he'd play Basin Street Blues, and then he'd launch into Street of Dreams, Don't Forget 127th Street, Easy Street, On Green Dolphin Street, On the Street Where You Live. He would do it, if it was a sunny day, he'd do eight songs about sunny days or had the sun in the title. He would sometimes go around the table, like if it was me and my mom and my aunt and my brother, he'd play a song that had somebody's name in it and do five or six songs like that.
Amazing.
Just, you know, he millions of songs, it seemed like, that he could play.
This next song, he must have been looking at one of the family pets.
You'd think. I have my cousin Steve, that Greg mentioned earlier, is Dave's oldest son, has a daughter named Caitlin.
Oh,
and when Caitlin was born, Dave wrote a song about her. So this next one's called Cat's Cradle, and it's a nice little melody piece that Dave wrote specifically for his granddaughter.
All right, so it's Cats for Caitlin, not for Meow.
Exactly. Thank you.
Mike, I want to thank you for bringing in this wonderful music and this wonderful subject and bringing Greg along with you to give us some stories. We have a few minutes left, and you know, the list of people you've mentioned, Oscar Peterson and Rosemary Clooney, and the list went on, and even mentioned during that last cut, you even mentioned the name Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of those stories. They're just amazing to me that here's a man that kind of knew everybody, and everybody liked his music.
Yeah, like I said, musician. So he toured with Tony for a while. I guess Tony was a fan of his playing, and we're going on Mary and I, my wife, had gone to see the filming of the David Letterman show, and Tony Bennett was on, and got to a security guard and say, "I'm Dave McKenna's nephew. Can we say hi?" And they hustled us right backstage, and
really?
He was all excited to meet us, and yeah, cool stuff.
So you and Mary got to meet Tony Bennett because you're Dave McKenna's nephew.
Exactly.
All right.
And a few years ago, we were in Las Vegas, and I have always wanted to see the Penn & Teller show. I love those guys. They're super
right.
funny, unbelievable musicians.
It is a great show. I have seen it.
Yeah. So we checked into the hotel where they were playing, and there's a sign in the lobby that says, "Come early to the show, half hour early, and hear the Mike Jones Jazz Duo." Well, I didn't know who Mike was, but it's jazz. I'll probably
sure.
like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go anyway. Let's go a half hour early, and we'll check out the music.
Right.
And we got there, and they let you go up on stage and, you know, look at a box and write your name in an envelope and stuff. And
This is the Rio, I believe, as I recall. I think it was the Rio.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the while, at stage left, there's a piano, a guy playing a piano and a guy playing the upright bass. And as I'm up there on stage looking at the props and stuff, I'm, you know, kind of half listening to the guy playing the piano. I think, "Man, that guy plays a lot like Dave," and you get these walking bass lines and the way he kind of approached the stride stuff. And as it turns out, the bass player is actually Penn Jillette. So
right.
he hired Mike because he wanted Mike to teach him how to be a jazz musician. And so now Mike Jones has the best gig I know of in music. Right? So he's the musical director for the Penn and Teller show. After the show, Penn and Teller and Mike all hang out in the lobby, and they talk to people, sign autographs. Kind of waited for the crowd to die down. I walked up to Mike and said, "Hey, do you happen to know a guy named Dave McKenna, jazz piano?" He said, "Do I know Dave McKenna? He's the best piano player that ever lived." And he went on to like about a 5-minute speech about how awesome Dave was and how big a fan was and how he models his style after my uncle.
That's amazing.
So it's, you never know when you're going to bump into someone who is a big Dave fan.
The list is incredible. I can't wait for the film to come out, Greg. Mm. And it'll be one of those things that hopefully a lot of people will get to see. And particularly, Rhode Islanders take pride in the fact that this is a Rhode Island native that we were talking about. And, just like George M. Cohan or, you know, that kind of thing. We should get his name as famous as that. I hope it all works out. I know you talked about a GoFundMe page that's going to help out along the way. One more time for everybody to make sure they have it.
Yeah, sure. The website is GoFundMe.com/Dave McKenna Film.
Dave McKenna Film. Don't forget the film part. All right. And Mike, again, thanks for coming in. And we get the time for one more piece of music. And tell us about how many famous people played this.
Yeah, this is a Dave McKenna original, much like the last one, Cat's Cradle, that he wrote about his granddaughter, who he loved tremendously. Another person that he loved tremendously was Ted Williams. That was Dave's idol growing up, and Dave was a huge Red Sox fan. So he actually wrote this song. He called it Theodore the Thumper in honor of Ted Williams. So I wanted to kind of wrap up with another Dave original piece.
When I saw Theodore the Thumper, I was thinking rabbit. So this is for Ted Williams.
Yeah, the alternate title for this tune is Teddy Ballgame.
Okay. We'll listen to that. And once again, thanks, Greg, for coming in. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Best of luck on your project. And Mike Savard, thank you. Great to hear all the stories. And we'll have to do this again and get some more music in at some point.
Let's do it.
All right. The rest of you will listen to this song and then see you next time on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.